Blue Wire.
You're listening to the Raider Cody Podcast, the official podcast of RaidersBeat.com.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
You're going to get everything I got. Everything I got. Give me everything you got. Sure. Do it for the man next to you.
Let's go. Let's go, Raiders on three. One, two, three. Let's go get there.
We talk about rebuilding. How do you rebuild? I don't think that Gruden came in to rebuild. I think he came to set his roster on fire.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Coming to you guys live post-draft. Man. 3 days wrapped up. What do we have? 7 picks.
Yeah.
And we're done, dude. I mean, we...
This is eventful.
A little roller coaster ride of an NFL draft. Obviously, we had that first day, which threw everybody out of whack. There's a few fans that
was like the first turn.
Yeah, they tried to like quit on the team. They're not gonna quit.
Some did.
How can a fan actually? I mean, it's there. You know what I mean? Like, even if you try and root for another team, how does it even stick?
I don't know. When you have thousands of dollars invested into clothes, tattoos, merchandise, tickets, all I don't get it, but. To each their own. I mean, we obviously made up for it, redeemed ourselves with the second pick. You can,
Marek, yes,
if
dude.
You, I mean, look, if you want to make it seem better, you can flip the picks.
Yeah,
and say we got Marek in the first round and we got Leatherwood in the second round.
Yeah,
and at the day it worked out.
And if they're both good players, who cares? So shout out to the live chat. I see you guys in there: John Parker, Ivan the Great, Tyler Rada, Al Raider Nation, Anthony, Daniel. I see you guys in there.
Yeah,
appreciate you guys always tuning in. It's been a while since we went live. And we went live yesterday on Periscope, but that doesn't really count. And Twitter Spaces, which was cool.
That was cool.
But back live on YouTube, so appreciate you guys sticking this out with us. And we want to discuss every single pick, and I want to take callers. So if you're watching now, I want to take live callers, sit down and talk with me and Kenny King. Your thoughts, your frustrations, your excitement about making the playoffs in 2021.
I'm excited about winning the Super Bowl in 2021.
That's the type of energy we need right now in the studio. So... let's kick this thing off, man. Like I said, it was a roller coaster ride. Alex, I'm going to say Leatherhead. It's there. Like, it's stuck.
That's going to be your new... You're going to get a jersey made that says Alex Leatherhead?
Dude, that'd be amazing. If it said Leatherhead.
Leatherhead 70.
And get a leather helmet.
Yeah.
Old leather helmet.
That's the new Superfan.
Oh, dude.
You're going to bring back Superfan
Leatherhead.
Cody.
Leatherhead Cody. Oh, my goodness. So he comes in. He's 6'5", 312 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, won, what, 2 championships?
Yeah, won the Outland, award winner.
Yeah.
So best college football player, or best lineman in the draft.
Yeah, I mean.
You can't ask for more.
No, and he's very versatile, and that's what's great, I feel like, about Leatherhead. Dude, I'm telling you, it's there. Like, it's the first thing that pops in my mind is Leatherhead. So that's the great thing about Leatherwood is he played right guard. He played a lot of left tackle.
Yeah.
And the difference is, I think making a flip, what's going to help is, like I said, he played right guard. So he's already kind of flipping his motions, and he's used to going back and forth. Now he's just got to take those mechanics as a left tackle and switch them over to the right side. And I think it's very possible, and I think Tom Cable's excited about it.
I think Tom Cable's excited about it. I think the Raiders organization is excited about it. And you look at the offensive line, right? You got Denzel Good right next to him, and that's a great person to learn next to because Denzel Good pretty much played everywhere on the line last year.
Yeah.
He was able to fill in for Richie Incognito. He filled in for Trent Brown when he went down. And so Good is going to be that good conduit that's going to be able to help him with that. But I also think at the same time, you know, you look at somebody who played left tackle, you have the athleticism to go back to the right hand, to the right side, do that. It's going to give the Raiders a lot more versatility that we talked about the other day.
Yeah.
You know,
Leatherface. That's a
ooh.
Got a couple in there. We got Anthony and 509 Raider. Shout out to 509 Raider. Yeah, Leatherface. That could be a good one. So Leatherwood. Back if I'm going to go back all the way to right now, 2018 in college, he had 486 pass blocking snaps. Okay, 486 pass blocking snaps.
Okay,
allowed 2 sacks and 21 total pressures. Those are all at right guard. That was the only year he's only taken 12 snaps total at right tackle through his college career, and that was that year in 2018. So then he made the switch these last 2 years, 2019 and 2020. Both times over 400 pass blocking snaps. 2019, 0 sacks allowed, 10 pressures, right? And that was all at left tackle. And then last year was 3 sacks allowed, 16 pressures. solid. I mean, that's an anchor right there. Five sacks and a total of 1,451 pass blocking snaps. Five sacks allowed.
That's
pretty good.
It's Rodney Hudson numbers right there.
And I mean, it's not like he's just playing for some small school either. Right. You know what I mean?
He's playing for Bama.
I mean, you're playing teams.
Championship pedigree. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows the championship mindset. He's got familiarity with Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, with Henry Ruggs. So mm-hmm. I think that adds to it. I think that, you know, knowing Josh Jacobs' running style and knowing how Josh likes to be blocked for, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people don't think about that, where Josh knows how to play with this guy, and he knows how to run behind him, and he knows, and Leatherface knows what Josh wants to run. So I'm excited about it, especially in the red zone, because we need somebody to push that line back in the red zone.
Yeah.
We need to move it in the red zone. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. It's nice to have you in studio again.
It is kind of nice, huh?
Yeah, 3 days now. This is our last day together.
You tired of me yet?
I mean, when you got here, yeah, I was already. So can imagine how I feel now. Anyways,
I didn't do it, but I did it.
So free safety. We come out, and this is where, you know, Raider Nation is frustrated, and I get it. Until we see how they pan out, I'm not really going to be mad at the pick, because mock drafts have, in a way, ruined us and manipulated us. They're and, yes, I get they have value,
yeah,
but they're not NFL boards, and there's a lot of guys that, you know, even fans, and I get it, fans have their opinion and want their picks. I'm the same way. That's almost the reason I didn't really try and fall in love with too many players this year, because I always get disappointed. But
you can't judge mocks. I mean, no, look, Chris Sims had Justin Fields going 32.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, my drafts are all over the board.
I feel like the first five picks you can pretty much judge. Like, you can say these guys are going to go in this place. After that, all bets are off.
Yeah,
especially in the National Football League. All bets are off. Anywhere a team sees a need and they see a value in a player, they're going to take that player.
Yeah.
If you say, hey, we need an offensive tackle, then you take an offensive tackle at 17.
Yeah.
If that's your biggest need, teams are going to draft for need.
Yeah.
If that player isn't there, then you go best player available. But at the time being, that was what they needed.
Yeah.
And then they saw Merrick in the second round. They said, well, shoot.
Yeah,
let's go get our guy.
Every team does that. Every team is going to draft need. Every general manager is still going to try and, you know, you look at the best players available, and if there's a star there that you just can't pass up, yeah, you go for that. But in our situation, I felt like that was the best possible case. I want you guys to lay a grade out, you know, A, B, C, D, F. You know, I'll drop it in the chat real quick. Drop in the chat what grade you guys would do. Plus or minuses are accepted. I'd give it a B. I'd give it a B pick, just because it solidified a need. And the only reason I think it's not an A is just because of what is known as value. Right. And also knowing, just the draft is a crapshoot anyways. It's really hard to get like that. It could be an A pick by the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at Bleacher Report when the pick came out, and I think Bleacher Report had graded an F. I looked at Mo Moten.
Yeah,
he gave us a B minus.
That's good
for that pick. I think that's a very solid grade. I think that I would say B minus, C plus, for where it was.
Yeah,
but I think that when you look at the second round, going back, being able to trade up, get Merrick, and be able to get Leatherwood in back to back, I think that that gives the draft grade a little bit higher grade.
Exactly, we're looking at the whole class. You know, it wasn't just one pick, and it was funny too, because one of the biggest reactions was like, what about defense? What about defense? And it's like, well, I think Mayock hurt us.
Mayock definitely hurt us. And I think the biggest thing was, it wasn't just what about defense, it was what about the secondary? And what are we going to do about free safety? What are we going to do about corner? What are we going to do about nickel? What are we going to do about all these players that there were question marks around in that secondary? We filled those needs.
Yeah, trading up and getting Merrick was huge. Trayvon Merrick coming in at the 43rd overall pick, which was amazing to me. 6'2", 202 pounds, out of TCU. Love me some TCU. And he played, I'd say, a little under a quarter of his snaps were at free safety.
Yeah.
I think I have it here. Hold on. 172 out of 755 snaps at free safety. And that's enough to be versatile.
Mm-hmm.
He can play in the box. He can get down in the slot. You know, I mean, I feel like he's kind of just that do-it-all type guy. In 2019, he had 47 targets thrown his way, basically in coverage. He allowed 25 receptions for yards and 3 touchdowns. 57.8 passer rating allowed, which is amazing. 12 pass breakups.
Yeah.
That's great in 2019. Then he even steps it up in 2020. I think teams almost realized, let's maybe not throw it his way so much, right? He comes out in 2020. Targets drop, 41 targets, 20 receptions allowed, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns allowed, 51.7 passer rating last year. 8 pass breakups and 2 interceptions. And for a safety, yeah, that's good, because safety NFL passer ratings are going to look a lot worse than a corner, just because you're the dude that can get screwed in, yep, coverage, and you get all the worst blown up plays. So that's telling me he's not letting plays blow up in his face.
And we saw it a lot last year.
Yeah, we saw. And the year before that.
You got Reggie Nelson, you got Eric Harris, you got Dallin Leavitt, you got Jeff Heath. I mean, look, you finally got a safety, yeah, back there. You finally got a guy who's going to be able to go. And at the same time, we've got Gus Bradley, who's good with young players. Looking through the comments here, I see a lot of A's. I see some B pluses. I see some B's.
Are they dropping a grade right now on the Merrick pick because of the trade up? Right? What do we do? Jump 4? We jump 4 spots. What do we do to get him? I think we traded up like 4 spots or something.
4 spots with the Great America 49ers.
Yeah, and then we leapfrogged Cowboys.
Yep.
Who they expected was going to grab Trayvon.
Yeah.
We have 2 Trayvons now in the secondary.
Yeah, 2 Trayvon. 2 Trayvon M's.
Ooh. Man.
I saw here somebody said Nate Hobbs has a video on YouTube clowning AB.
Oh.
I got to check that out. We got to find that and
we have some homework to do after this. That's amazing. Born to be a Raider, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So drop your grade there, what you guys think about trading up and grabbing Merrick. I think he's going to immediately transition into playing right next to Jonathan Abram, as he should, being an early pick. First-round talent in the second round. Amazing. Made us feel, I think, really good to, you know, feel like we stole a guy that was in mock drafts valuable. See, but no one ever thinks about that because he fell, you know what I mean? Right. Like, so
I had him going 17. He was, when I did my video for who we should take at 17, I had him.
Yeah, you wanted him.
I had Jenkins and I had Parsons. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for us to get him in the second round, it's a huge steal.
Yeah, I'm giving it an A for sure.
That's an A for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trade up, I almost want to give him an A+.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. It's almost like Mayock did that just to be like, okay, here's your value, guy.
Right, shut up.
Shut up. I love you. Keep drafting. Oh, man. I was pretty pumped with that. So, after 2 picks, we solidified our 2 biggest needs, I would say. Still had secondary holes, like you were saying.
Yep.
And, yeah, we definitely took care of that. But the next pick was a defensive end out of a familiar place. The 79th overall pick, defensive end Malcolm Kuntz.
Yeah.
I went to school with a Kuntz, but it was K-O-O-N-T-Z. A little different. Same thing. 6'3", 250 pounds. Buffalo. Who do we know out of Buffalo?
Ladarius Mack.
Yes, him. Yeah, so he was listed in college as an outside, lined up on the defensive line as an edge rusher pretty much the entire time. So he's going to come in off the edge, and I think kind of just be that dude that I feel like fills the role that's missing with Arden Key, that we expected the Arden Key to be, the third down guy that comes in off the edge. Quicker, lighter. What is he? He's 6'3", 250. I mean,
he's about the same size as Mac. Mac was when he came into the league. Mac's a lot bigger now, but
so we'll see how he bulks up. Hopefully, there's some, you know, something in the water over there in Buffalo that makes him, you know, like that.
Hey, I'll tell you this. I think that I saw the pro comp for him, and I think the pro comp was Yannick Ngakoue.
Ooh,
and so
maybe a little successor or a little, you know, he has his mentor in the building at least.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that anything is better than what we had at Arden Key. Significantly better. I was really surprised that we didn't take a defensive tackle in this draft. And I know that Barmore was the best defensive tackle in the draft and he got taken, but I was really surprised, but also wasn't surprised because we have like 12 defensive tackles on the roster.
Yeah.
But seeing a guy like Kuntz come off the board, coming in the third round, I think it's a good value pick. I would probably give it maybe a C+.
Ooh. Okay.
You know, that's my thought process on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, man, we have so many defensive linemen.
Yeah.
It's almost ridiculous. But he came in 2018 and 2019 combined, 85 pressures and 14 sacks through those 2 seasons. And then last year, played 6 games, 26 pressures and 5 sacks in 6 games, which is good. There's production there.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see what they translate. I don't see him having too much playing time at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you got to look at it. You got Max, you have Klee, you got Yannick. Mm-hmm. Like, those are going to be your big 3, the rotating guys. he's going to come in. He's going to be a pass, most likely a pass rush specialist. He'll be in some of those packages, but we have to think of he's probably going to get maybe 15, 25 snaps a game.
I was going to say, I was almost going to say less than that, 10, 15, well, depending on special teams and all that.
He shows out in practice, I mean, you know.
He could.
Yeah, you never know.
He could earn it quick. You know, it could be 3-4 games in the season. All of a sudden, now he's, you know, got a bigger role. Yeah, I like it. Drop that grade for Malcolm Kuntz. What you guys think? Defensive end out of Buffalo. That's just one of those small school kids that you don't know if they're going to be good or if they're just going to be an average roster guy like a lot of them are. But you never know. You could, you know, diamond in the rough, get him into an actual program. I mean, if he was playing for a big school, he could have maybe been a better player. Now you're getting him into this new fancy Raiders facility, right, in Las Vegas.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. And we're going to see what he can develop into with the right equipment at his disposal.
Get on that Deuce Gruden plan.
Ooh, deuce. Man. So we had back-to-back picks again this year, just like we did last year. Hopefully one of these guys isn't getting traded before the season starts. 80th overall, Divine Diablo.
Diablo. I don't know, but I thought it was interesting that he wore all white for his draft party. His name was Diablo.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trying to maybe kiss up to Mark Davis a little bit.
Well, then you'd have to wear the gray Lee dungarees.
Oh yeah.
with the stained white sweatshirt.
Yeah, he could be kissing up to the new owner. He could have known something. You know?
If he comes in with a bowl cut, we know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. So this is another. He was basically a safety. But played everywhere. This is Virginia Tech 6'3", 226, which is very comparable. I would say it's almost like a little like Merrick. Like, what's Merrick? It's 6'2", 202. He's just an inch bigger and has a little bit. I think he's pretty beefed up.
I think the biggest thing that we're looking at is we've gotten bigger DBs.
Yeah.
We went from the smaller, shorter guys to, you know, we got 6'2", 6'3".
I want to see Isaiah Johnson get some playing time.
Oh, I mean, look, the guy had two game savers for us last season.
Yeah.
I think that warrants him a little bit more playing time. I think it gets him an opportunity to come into the game and do something. You know, I'm curious to see, but I think Diablo, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Diablo's pro comp was Cam Chancellor.
Really?
Now, you can take that for what it's worth. I mean, obviously, when Obi Melifonwu was brought in, he had a pro comp of Cam Chancellor as well. But I feel like Diablo loves football more than Obi does.
Yeah.
So.
I just want to see Isaiah Johnson get out there with these guys, honestly. Give him a chance out there outside with Mullen.
So looking at the, oh, never mind, it got pulled. But it looks like it said Diablo was a former high school quarterback.
Interesting. And he can play all over the place. Like I said, I mean, to me, he's just like Merrick. He can play. He'll play in the box.
Yeah.
Play a lot of slot, free safety. He can be all over the place. He kind of just that plug and play, and see where that goes. And then we go back to back safeties. Tyree
Gillespie, like Dizzy.
I always I
like Dizzy Gillespie.
I'm doing Gillespie.
No, that's
for fun.
That's
it's stuck, dude.
That's a condition.
I said it earlier. It felt like it, like my left eye got stuck down. Like, I think I just developed galepsies.
Can't make comments about eyes, okay?
I'm telling you. So he comes in 6 foot, 210. Mizzou. Shout out to Fallon and her husband.
Yeah.
Mizzou.
Yeah.
So
Fallon Smith.
So he's obviously basketball. This is football Mizzou safety. I mean, I guess we got to make that clear now since we're signing basketball players as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is a football player. And kind of just a center fielder, dude. Just a center fielder. That was just his primary role. Get out there, be the top dude. Like, if it's going through and it's going to be a touchdown, it's going to be going through Gillespie. Can we draft guys like the next guy, Nate Hobbs? That's amazing. So easy to say. So, anyways, back to Tyree. I'm just going to call him Tyree. 2018 through 2020, so that's three seasons. He had 47 targets, 27 receptions allowed, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions in those 3 years. A little concerning, but fourth round pick. You're not going to go out there and draft a bunch of Pro Bowlers every single round. He could be a solid depth dude. And I as we saw even with Muse last year. Like, it was kind of already like a, I don't want to say we're drafting special teamers,
right?
But we want to draft guys, I think, that can have those roles of being able to just be a football player. And I think this is kind of one of those picks.
Fun fact about Tyree Gillespie is he actually held Kyle Trask to 8 yards.
Ooh.
And he stopped Najee on the goal line.
See, that's why.
So those are, I mean.
That's why he's never going to be the next Darren Waller. Darren Waller wouldn't get held to 8 yards.
No.
No.
I mean, who's going to hold Darren Waller to 8 yards? Honey Badger?
You know, we were talking about that. He's so the Waller comp is there over and over and over again.
Right.
But he's very, like, maybe in the college realm, he was a Darren Waller comp. In the NFL, he's not a Darren Waller.
No, Darren's way, I mean, he's bigger, he's stronger.
Way bigger.
I think that, yeah, you look at the college realm, of course he's going to be pro comp to him because that's the closest comparison. But, I mean, you get into college, or you get into the pros, it's completely different. Darren's bigger. He's been doing more things. What's up, neighbor Dave? How you doing there, buddy? You know.
Point to your comment there. That's funny.
But I think that you kind of got to put him at that pro comp. But I think that Kyle Pitts is going to be a stud. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be an absolute stud.
Bust.
I think he's going to be a stud, especially with Matt Ryan. But, you know, giving that comp of Darren Waller, it's tough to give him somebody right now.
One catch. That's in the comments. Held Pitts to one catch. Amazing.
I don't think Darren Waller's ever been held to one catch.
Not by some fourth rounder.
Top two, and it ain't two.
So in the fifth round, again, secondary.
Nate Hobbs. I'm sensing a trend here.
Nate Hobbs. It's almost like we needed some secondary players. It's crazy after, I mean, of course, safety was a big need, but it's crazy how we're still kind of making our rounds for corners when we have, we talked about it last night, we have Mullen, who's an early second rounder.
Yep.
We have Arnett, who was a first rounder. We have Abram, that was a first rounder. We have Carl Joseph, who was a first rounder. And now we're still, and now we have a second rounder in Merrig. And we're doing everything that we can. Now I think it's just up to Gus Bradley. Like, we got to do something here. We got to turn this defense into what we've been wanting it to be the last 3 years. And it obviously didn't happen with Gunther.
I mean, the guy.
I've never said his name like that, and I don't know why I just did.
Gunther. The guy, I mean, look. Anybody that says, I don't know how to prepare for this game in a press conference before a game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All bets are off. I can't win with you.
So Illinois here, Nate Hobbs, 6 foot, 195 pounds. He's more of like, he played a lot of outside. It seemed like he would follow some guys around. He played in the slot a little bit. He was in the box. He blitzed. He had a couple sacks. He had like 2 sacks throughout his college career, mm-hmm. which is nice. 141 total tackles, 3 interceptions, 17 pass breakups, 101.1 passer rating. It's hard because you got to take these things with a grain of salt. Yeah. You got to watch him play. You got to see his technique, and you got to see if it's just not quite fundamentally sound and just needs to kind of get back to the basics. And I think that's luckily with a lot of these DBs, we're going to be doing that with Bradley. He's eliminating the mental thought process, and I think allowing these guys to be more instinct players. And we talked about that already before with Abram. Yeah. Obviously, I feel like that's what he thrives more on. You see the bad angles. You see him getting there late. I think it's just because there's so much of a mental aspect. He's not able to trust his instincts as much, and I really want to see that with Mullen.
Yeah.
Also, who was the guy that we just had? I was talking with RaidersBeat.com. Shout out to RaidersBeat.com. Make sure you go subscribe to their website and all, you know, they try and bust out a bunch of breaking news articles and little tidbits and nuggets, things that are being said, people talking trash about the Raiders. Put some stuff to bed. It's pretty good. RaidersBeat.com. I was talking to him 2 days ago. Rashawn Melvin was whenever he came in.
Yeah.
We brought him in. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he came in, he just kind of started like falling off.
Well, and then his big thing was that he was asked to do something completely different than what he had ever done.
And why? You know what I mean? Why?
But we had that a lot. We had that with Sean Smith. We had that with Rashawn Melvin. I mean, Gunther did that with a lot of guys. You bring in players that don't fit your system, and you want to try to change them to fit your system.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work like that.
You know, look at, I think the prime example of that happening was when you look at Nnamdi Asamoah.
Yeah.
Nnamdi was a stud with the Raiders.
Yeah.
You know,
he went to Philly.
And then he goes to Philly and they changed they changed the way that he played.
They put him in like a zone or something.
They put him in zone. He was a man. He was a man corner.
Yeah, just let him sit out there by himself and do work.
They remember they signed all those players, their quote unquote dream team.
Yeah.
And what did they do?
I don't know.
Nothing.
Who? Then our final pick, seventh rounder. We didn't have a sixth rounder, didn't we? I think we packaged that to trade up at one point.
Yes.
So ended with a seventh rounder, 230th overall. We get another center, Jimmy Morrissey. And I don't understand this pick necessarily. I want you guys to drop a grade for this entire day. 4, 5, 6, and 7 rounds. Drop a grade, A through F, on what you thought about all these final picks. Morrissey I didn't quite get because I don't see how, unless maybe I need to look at the contract more of Nick Martin. Is he very cuttable?
Yeah.
Or do we plant this guy on the practice squad?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, when you have a seventh rounder, they're most likely not going to play the first year. I see him being like a Lester Cotton, a guy that's, you know, that's put on the
practice squad. I love Lester Cotton.
I like Lester, too. I think Lester can be, you know, he'll be serviceable in this league. But I think that he's a guy that's going to probably sit on the practice squad for a year. I think that, you know, Andre James and Nick Martin are probably going to battle it out. Andre's probably going to win because the Raiders seem to love him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And obviously Andre's been working a lot with Derek lately. So I think that gives him an edge as well. I don't see Jimmy, you know, making the 53.
No, me neither.
But I do see him being somebody stashed away on the practice squad, you know, and who knows, maybe they move him to guard. Maybe they move him to another position.
Yeah. So that's going to round out our draft. I'm not going to talk about undrafted guys until I see everybody that we grab.
Yeah.
I think we've got a couple already.
We've done it. I mean, the Raiders have done a really good job with the undrafted guys. Shout out Alec Ingold.
Yeah.
We've gotten some studs in the undrafted free agency market.
Yeah.
Carlos Gonzalez, why are you watching a Raider channel if the Raiders?
Oh, he's a 49er fan?
Yeah.
They obviously don't have any good content creators at the 49ers, apparently. I mean. You know,
I think Gruden wants the Raiders to run downhill 60% of the time. Carl will play action, drop, throw darts. I think that Gruden wants to run a lot more. I think that's why you bring a guy like Leatherhead in. See, now you got me doing it.
Leatherhead.
But yeah, I think that's why you bring a guy like Leatherwood in, is because he's a phenomenal run blocker.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to work here, fellas. I don't think that we can hear the caller going through. That's unfortunate.
Michael Naylor said he would name his first son Woody. So it'd be Woody Naylor.
Oh, man. Woody. Woody Naylor. Yes, he would. Anyway, so needs were addressed. What would justify an A? I feel like you can't. Shout out to John Q in the chat. I feel like call it. Okay, we're going to have to get out of that for now. Sorry, guys. Unfortunately, we can't take callers because my system's not going through, and I don't know why. So, I hate technical difficulties, Kenny King. So, I think justifying an A is going to be after the season.
Yeah.
To see how they do. Or in a year or two. You know what I mean? It's just like the first Mike Mayock draft with Farrell and like. Everyone's giving them like, oh, draft sucked, you know, C, D, people grading them F. And then it ended up being probably the best draft class of the year.
Yeah.
So I feel like early grades are just kind of reactionary.
Those picks are always based off value. Once again, mock value.
Yeah.
And so you can't really place a value on a player that you haven't seen play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, we talk about this all the time. You can't label a player a bust after 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Alex Smith, prime example. Alex Smith, his first few years, had horrible seasons, but it was because of coaching. He goes to Kansas City and becomes a playoff quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, you look at guys like Josh Allen. Josh Allen was another one that people called the bust his first year.
Yeah.
He ended up being a pretty damn good quarterback.
Exactly.
So I think that, you know, I think people are quick to call players busts. I think people are quick to label that bust and because they don't want that player, but it's really hard to judge and to grade something based off of something you haven't seen.
Exactly. Yeah, the 49ers have horrible creators of content. Rough Raider 76. I was about to say your name. I'm glad I didn't, but I appreciate your comment. I just want to say Raider fans don't deserve Cody and Kenny. I love you guys. I don't deserve Kenny, and I don't deserve all the good listenership we always have. We always have a great audience and great commenters. Love you guys always chiming in and being level-headed. It seems like we have a pretty optimistic audience. Obviously, pessimistic people aren't going to like listening to me too much. True. I always see glass half full. Yeah. But that's kind of why we watch football for me, you know, right? Mm-hmm. We try and enjoy it. And it's like kind of a little getaway from life. You know, you don't want, like, you know, everyone has struggles in their life. I want to, you know, get in here and watch Raiders football and unplug. And, yeah, they still piss me off. But
of course.
You know?
It's just, I mean, it's just like any relationship, right? You know, you can be in a relationship, but that relationship's going to make you mad sometimes.
Yeah.
But you can't walk around in that relationship and be pissed off perpetually.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go into it with, you know, with poop-colored glasses and say, well, this is just the worst thing ever, and I'm going to go into this pissed off every day. Like, you can't do that. So I look at things like, hey, you know, let's make the best of it.
Yeah. I see Carlos, the 49er fan, still in there. Vinny Thomas, giving thanks to the Whiners for trading with us so that we can get Marig. I agree. Shout out to your 49ers in there. Trayvon will be the best. I love it. Honestly, we're a defense away from actually like making a playoff run.
I agree.
I mean,
I agree.
Top 20. Give us top 20. Only time we had top 20 was 2016.
Yeah.
The year that we always talk about. But that's what we're trying to do again. But be better. Because I feel like that wasn't even like that. I mean, you can have any opinion you want, but I feel like that wasn't that good of a team, but they were clutch and they were committed and they loved playing football. And I feel like that's what we were missing last year. I felt like we had the talent last year too, but it just felt like when things started to, you know, kind of slip away and things weren't always going good, a loss or two, one bad loss after that.
After that KC loss, it was.
And what's sad is there was no excuse for that either because it was such a close game.
But there was no leadership in that defensive locker room. And I think that a few players have come out and spoke about that and said that, you know, there wasn't a lot of discipline. There wasn't leadership. I think that Paul Gunther was not, you know, Will Compton said it best, you know, good coach, good guy, horrible leader of men. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have 22 plays for third down and you're throwing the kitchen sink at your team and they don't know what they're doing, that's a big, big problem. So I think that Gus Bradley coming in, making things easier. We look at his defenses that he's had. Yeah. I mean, you've had the Legion of Boom. You've had Saxonville. You had this Charger defense that even with like 15 players out, they were still a top 20 defense.
Yeah.
And they created turnovers. I think that's the biggest thing. This is a defense that can create turnovers. And they went out and got some guys that can fly around, they can get after it, and they can, you know, make some havoc in the defense.
Jimmy Morrissey is going to be the first jersey I get. So who popped in there? Gotham Avenger. He's saying Marek jersey season. For sure, whose jersey you guys gonna get first? I got the custom Leatherhead jersey, right? That's mine.
I'm not buying a jersey.
You're not buying a jersey?
No,
I'm not buying Beth a jersey. That's for sure.
No, buy Beth. Actually, I'm gonna stop that.
We'll stop it right there.
Buy Beth an Aaron Rodgers jersey.
Oh man, I knew where this was gonna go. Gosh dang, she's never gonna have a car jersey. That's for
No,
not touching that.
Wait until he wins a couple Super Bowls and retires.
The bad luck, then you get the bad luck. She can get the retirement stuff. Yeah. We can't pop that on her too soon. The only thing is, I mean, she has the Woodson jersey. That's fine. It took me a long time to even get a car jersey. I'm not a quarterback guy. Believe it or not, nobody's ever gonna believe me when I say that. I've never been a quarterback guy. Like the quarterback position was never the flashy thing. I always got DBs.
See, I always got D linemen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I had a Janikowski jersey, but that was because me and Janikowski are friends, and so I felt like I had to get one. But I had a Richard Sherman. I had a Warren Sapp. I had a Khalil Mack. I always had the defensive lineman jerseys.
Telling you. I'm a DB guy.
And obviously I've got
– I can do running backs,
I got a 33, you know.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why.
Only because my name's on it.
Good stuff. So, guys, as we close out, drop in the comments where you're listening from. Are watching from. We're going to be turning this into a podcast and dropping more podcasts here pretty soon. So as soon as we're done recording this, we're going to hop back in, you know, obviously with no video feed. So subscribe, Training Table Podcast on any podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, or even subscribe to Kenny King's YouTube channel. Just search Kenny King. We're going to be popping out some podcasts here on my feed as well. There could be some changes to my feed in the near future, but I'm still going to pump something out this weekend for you guys to wrap up everything and hopefully talk about, we're going to see kind of some of these undrafted guys.
Yeah.
Talk about them a little bit and see who's popping in, and you never know with them, but it would be cool to see maybe one or two make the roster. But no, we're sitting out of the voluntary OTAs. Could still be some guys that show up and work. But at least this year, I think there'll be a bigger possibility of undrafted guys being able to make the roster now.
Yeah, I also think the Raiders are probably going to make some more noise in free agency. There's still some guys out there. And
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't.
Richard Sherman.
I hope so, please.
That'd be great.
I wouldn't put it past Gus Bradley to bring a couple of his guys in. You bring in a Melvin Ingram, bring in a Casey Hayward, a Richard Sherman. I think that those are all, you know, guys that could come in and, you know, potentially, you know, get a spot.
Phillip Buchanan. Phillip Buchanan's dope. Wasn't he the...
Phillip Buchanan, yeah.
Wasn't he like the...
He was the better of the two. So that was the year that two cornerbacks were taken from Miami. Mike Rumpf went to San Francisco, and Phillip Buchanan came to the Raiders. Phillip wasn't bad. Mike Rumpf was terrible.
He's up there at the top of all-time Raider interceptions, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was solid.
Yeah. Something like that. So, yeah, I see you guys in there. I said, California, you're close. I could throw a rock at you, probably. KC, listen from KC from enemy territory. Huh? That's.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's cool, though. San Jose, California, Oakland. See you guys in there. See you guys in there. So cool. Raider Nation, thanks for tuning in. Kenny King, it was a pleasure sitting with you doing a live show in the studio.
It's been good.
First ever live guest, basically, not really guest, but live co-host. And it was cool. So we're going to wrap this thing up. Hope you guys enjoyed the draft. Start picking out what jersey you're going to get. Maybe a Richard Sherman jersey. That'd be nice. And we'll be looking forward to dropping some more podcasts and content for you guys. So peace.
Bye, guys.